Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today, which means this. What does the Bible actually mean and actually say without the interpretations of men and without the traditions of men? What did God teach in the Old Testament? What did Jesus teach in the Gospels? What did the apostles write in their writings? All of that has been preserved. And many men have tried to either destroy the Bible or change the Bible, such as we have been discussing here with the Queen James Bible, in order to give the facade that the Bible approves of same-sex or same-gender sexual relations. They have changed the words in the Bible. Now we have two warnings in the Bible. In Deuteronomy 4, the children of Israel, when they had the law, after God had given what we have the section of the Bible called the law, which is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, God warned them, do not change what he has given. Do not go to the right hand or to the left. Do not look out into the other nations and see how did they worship their God, and then adopt their practices. And today we're living in a world that has been so deceived. Yet down through the time, God has preserved his word. Likewise, all the prophecies concerning the coming of Christ. And guess what? There are people out there even preaching and promulgating that Jesus was a mythical invention.
I wouldn't say it's but a myth. It really is a myth. And a myth is the way the ancients told the truth.
Now, why would they do that? So they can cast the law of God behind them. So they can do anything that they please. Now, what everyone needs to understand is this. All those kind of actions by people, God is not going to instantly correct them or punish them, because God is loving and kind and merciful, and he will give them a space of repentance. And God requires everyone to repent. Not just to change our exterior behavior, but God wants the conversion of the mind and the heart. He wants the knowledge of the truth and the laws in your mind and the love of God in your heart. And that's what the whole New Testament is about. But men, like the homosexual community, or women that belong to the homosexual community, they view what they are doing as good. And because the Bible condemns their behavior, they have the audacity and gall to dare to change the Word of God to suit their lusts and their perversions, to remove what they call homophobic interpretations. And what they do is not even realize and understand that they have heterosexual phobias. And they have phobias against God. God says that those who do such things are haters of God. God says that those who do such things are inventors of evil things. Now, we've been going systematically through the scriptures, seeing how they have changed the Bible. We've covered in the Old Testament, and we covered Romans 1 in the New Testament. Before we come to the book of Romans, let's come to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, because this tells us about the Word of God. And just because we are living in a time that is different from what you find in the Old Testament does not mean that God has changed and does not mean that the Word of God is no longer valid. And granted, when you look at the Christian world today, they are anything but Christian, only in profession, not in word and deed and in truth. Now remember what Jesus said. Jesus said, "The flesh profits nothing. The Spirit gives life." And the words that I speak to you are spirit and life. In other words, the words of God are active all the time, everywhere human beings are. Now, what do I mean by that? The Word of God is automatic, spoken by the eternal God. So they are spirit and they are truth. And when it gets down to what human beings think about it, God could care less. God says, if you think you're idle, or if you think that what you do is so good, tell us the end from the beginning. Create for us the universe. God says, I did. And all the stars I have named and numbered. God is perfect. God is eternal. And God will not be mocked. So therefore, they can burn Bibles. They can change the Word of God to suit themselves. But that does not change God. And here's why. Hebrews 4, verse 12. The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of both soul and spirit, and of both the joints and marrow, and is able to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God knows. The reason we have the Bible is so that if you want to know about God, it's here. If you want to know God in a personal way, that is through Jesus Christ, and there must be repentance and baptism and laying on of hands to receive the Holy Spirit and to keep the commandments of God. Otherwise, you're a counterfeit. Have you ever thought about that? And it is hypocritical for those who say, we love Jesus and we are Christians, come to church on Sunday, because God never changed the Sabbath. And that is a worse lie which billions of people have embraced as truth. And that is why there is no understanding in them. So you need to think about it. So while we are going through showing what they have done to the Word of God for the Queen James Bible, we also need to keep in mind that whenever anyone goes against any of the laws of God, that is sin. And when you break any of the laws of God, the penalty is automatic. The judgment comes later. let's read on. Verse 13, "And there is not a created thing that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." Because everyone is going to give an account of his or her life. Now, through repentance, we have Christ as a high priest, and we need to come forward to him and confess our sins. Now, back to Romans, the first chapter, and we will finish our section here, then we'll go to some other New Testament scriptures. Let's begin with Romans 1:24. "For this cause God abandoned them to uncleanness through the lust of their hearts to disgrace their bodies between themselves." Now when they do that, they have to justify their behavior as not sinful. So what do? Verse 45, "They exchange the truth of God for the lie." So what are they trying to do with this King James Bible? They are trying to change the truth of God into a lie to make it appear that God agrees with them. "And worshiped and served the created thing more than the one who is creator, who is blessed into the ages. Amen." Now what do they worship? They worship themselves and sex. Perverted sex. Now you see, if there's any one thing that a person should be completely aware of is this. Do not at any time come to the point where God abandons you to your own sins and your own devices. There are dire consequences when that happens. And it's automatic. God doesn't have to be there to do a thing, because his laws are spiritual and living. Verse 26, "For this cause God abandoned them to disgraceful passions, for even their women changed the natural use of sex into that which is contrary to nature." So here is what they did in changing verse 26. Now listen carefully to this. "Their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature." That includes lesbianism, bestiality, and what is known today in the industry as sex toys. "And likewise also the men left the natural use of the women, burned in ritual lust one toward another." So they said, the only way that this applies is if you go to a pagan temple where they have ritual sex. Question, what are gay bathhouses? What are gay places of anonymous sex? Are they not their own temples? Do they not go there to worship their own sex organs and the sex organs of others? So even what they have done here, burned in ritual lust, to say that if you do these things, if you're not going to a pagan temple, it's okay if you're burned in your lust when you do it in the privacy of a home or at a gay bathhouse or at a gay community center or whatever it may be. And remember, ancient Rome had bathhouses, did they not? What do you think they did? Play ring around the rosy? Hide and go seek? Now let's see what they did to Romans 1:27. Let me read it in the Faithful Version. "And in the same manner also, the men, having left the natural use of sex with the woman, were inflamed in their lustful passions toward one another, men with men shamelessly committing lewd acts and receiving back within themselves a fitting penalty for their error. And I suspect with all the thrust of the homosexual community today and the power and money that they have, that they are going to come against Christians in a powerful way, and I have a report we'll cover later which will show it. Here is how they changed it. Romans 1:27 from the Queen James Version. Men with men working that which is pagan and unseemly. Question: is there anything Christian about homosexual relations? Is there? Where does the Bible authorize it? No place. Everywhere it condemns it. But what they have done here, isn't it amazing? That they have put in there exactly what they are doing. It doesn't matter if it's in a temple or a bedroom or in a bathhouse or in a glory hole. That which is pagan and unseemly, for this cause God gave the idolaters up to vile affections, receiving in themselves that recompense for their error that was meet or that was fitting. Now I'm going to tell you again, if you want to know more in depth about the practices of homosexuals and what it really leads to, you go to Dr. Paul Cameron's website and you look up those things there. We cannot give an explanation of what is done on Church at Home. But you have to find out yourself. Now here is their final statement for Romans. Romans is our most major editing, but also one of the most powerfully free of interpretive ambiguity. It has been made very clear, yet retains all the content of the original. A lie. Not true. Now, let's come to 1 Corinthians 6, because isn't it interesting that such perverse behavior is so driven to justify itself and make it right in their own eyes and present something presentable to the public so they are not openly condemned any longer, that they would go to the audacious and daring practice of changing the Word of God to say, see, we are right. Well, let's come to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Now, this is after Paul did something very important in 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. He had the church remove from the congregation a man who was committing sexual immorality by having relations with his stepmother. So he was put out of the church until he repented. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Don't you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, now that's all kinds of immoral sex, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor abusers of themselves as women, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Isn't that interesting? Let's see what they have done here. Let's see how they have changed it and what their explanation is. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor morally weak, nor promiscuous, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, how can you have, right in the middle of this, changing it, morally weak? Nowhere in the entirety of the Bible does it talk about morally weak. It talks about those who are weak in faith and need to be strong, nor promiscuous. Now, what we need to do is get into what the meaning of those words are in the original Greek. And we will find out that this changing of the translation is entirely incorrect. See, men come in, and they're not satisfied with what God has given, nor are they willing to obey God and put down their own lust and their own perversions and their own sinful ways. Just like those who are in worldly Christianity for today. They keep Sunday, which is the sun god's day. They keep all the holidays of this world, beginning with Halloween. And we have a series about Halloween right online at Church at Home. And so their holidays begins with a celebration of death. And what is death? The wages of sin. And Halloween is a day of witches and demons and goblins. It is a day devoted totally to Satan, the devil. So all of those who practice it, and like I brought up to a woman recently, when they decorated the bank with all kinds of Halloween things and cobwebs and skeletons and things like this, and I said to one of the tellers, "Oh, why did you do this?" "Oh, well, so-and-so did it. She did a good job, didn't she?" And I said, "Well, what if that offends me?" "Oh," she says, "don't worry about it. This is just for fun." And that's how people look at it, you see? It's for fun. And you're trapped. You're hooked. Because Satan begins with fun to lead people astray from God. Now we will finish in the next segment going through how in the Queen James Bible they change things so that when they read the Bible, that is the homosexual community, they will not have a guilt conscience as to what they are doing. But little do they realize, when you go to Dr. Cameron's website, you will find all about all of their practices, how filthy and abominable they are. And you will find out that, yes, indeed, their lives are cut short. So we need to understand how serious this problem is, because it's only going to get worse. So be sure and use our other website, cbcg.org. Download all the material that we have on the homepage of Church at Home, and especially download the one, A Sabbath Sunday Controversy You Have Never Read. And I want you to read that, and I want you to think about that, and I want you to ask yourself the question before God, once you know the truth, Lord, what should I do? And we have a book you can have without any cost by that title. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.